It's time for Advice Line. Call now at 800-866-8883. That's 800-866-8883. Here's your host, Roy Masters.
Well, we had a good hour a little while ago. You didn't hear it, but you'll hear it later. It's one of my advices, so I don't have to stay up so late, is to do an early program where people call in. It's earlier. And as the night goes on, it's daylight, you know, towards morning, and people fall asleep. The whole idea, basically, is if you listen to me and you can't sleep, then at some point in the radio program, there'll be somebody calling in, and they have a severe problem. And very often I say, look, close your eyes and listen to what I'm saying. And be aware of your fingertips and stuff like you've heard me say that before. And while you're listening to that, me doing a favor to the person who is in trouble and helping them overcome something very quickly that psychiatry and psychology can never understand. No way. I've got a few doctors who are beginning to, you know, in my lifetime, I have psychiatrists and psychologists. As a matter of fact, if you get the military version of the cure stress devices, which is called coping strategies, I've given 100,000 of those away, almost 100,000. And then, oh, God knows how many downloads, like 400,000, 500,000 downloads. And it's helping the soldiers, but I can't get to 20 million people, 20 million soldiers. I need to get to all of them because nearly all of the soldiers from every war have some form of post-traumatic stress disorder. And they live with it. They don't necessarily kill anybody, but they sometimes become too good to people. I just had a brother-in-law die from, who was a veteran. And it was a brother-in-law, but we didn't know much of each other. My wife talks to him every now and then. His name was Bill. And he was also a veteran, but the whole family got post-traumatic stress disorder. One son, one of the boys, you can't talk to. He's angry and angry and angry. You can't talk to him. You can't get to him. Can't give him anything. But this one is full of anger and also hostility because when I first met him, we had a fight. And I don't know what it but you know, something that my wife did or something supposedly did, but he turned and hit me with an iron bar in my back. I didn't know where my back was turned, so split my head open. But I sent him to hospital and was that that's my natural instinct to fight and win quick. I was a good fighter when I was a kid, young man. But he became a good friend. I didn't know him, but one of his sons came to visit us one time, and I would talk to him every now and then. He became a very decent person, and we forgave each other. But then he took on, all the family was broken. So all the family children went, kids were broken, the whole family was broken. So he gathered all the kids up slowly but surely. He was taking care of 16, 17 of them. But he did it from the goodness of his heart. But that wasn't a pure goodness. It was obligatory goodness. Means he resented the unconsciously resented the obligation, which compelled him to do the right thing in a very sweet way. But it was a weakness, not a strength. And there's a big difference between doing things by reacting and feeling obligated. Reacting takes the natural obligation, which would be grace, naturally without pressure. But the resentment converts the natural goodness of it into a compulsion. And then their compulsion is to serve, and to serve as others. It makes them weaker and makes them dependent on you and a slave of your largesse. In other words, you can't help but be good and to be taken advantage of. And when you are taken advantage of, and the kids or whoever you're taking care of don't recognize all the effort you're putting out for them, and they give you a hard time, comes the resentment again, then the guilt you into trying harder to make it. Pretty soon he was had the whole family, and he died from leukemia. That is what good people die from. Really, really good people who have their natural goodness converted into slavery to other people. Anybody recognize? I didn't mean to start the program this way, but I did make a good point. You know anybody's dying from leukemia? Could your little boy be little kid being dying from leukemia? Don't look for a member of the family who looks like a very sweet, nice person. Yeah, you go ahead. Understand what I'm saying. Don't say anything, though. Don't tell, I told you. But you understand why people it's difficult for you to introduce me to people, because the truth hurts, doesn't it? And you just want to live in your little la-la land. You know, drugs, alcohol, whatever the hell it is. Okay.
Call Roy at 800-866-8883.
The foundation of human understanding teaches an observation exercise, often called meditation, which permits you to become objective toward your problems and allows your heartache, bad habits, anxieties to be completely eliminated from your life without effort on your part. Until you have begun to practice this exercise, much of what you see and hear on the following program may be shocking and upsetting to you, but if you will listen calmly and with an open mind, you may discover the key to the peace of mind and joy for which you've been searching all of your life. And now, from the foundation of human understanding, here is Roy Masters.
Well, funny thing, I wasn't feeling well when I started the program. I did an hour program already, and you'll get to hear that later on. You know, in the wee hours of the morning. It's a three-hour program, so one of them's recorded, meaning it's live the same evening, but you need to call at 9 o'clock. The program officially starts at 10, so this is officially the first hour, but the first hour now is the second hour. That's the one you hear next. So, and so on and so forth, it gets complicated. But I understand that you... Well, there's a few people called and said they enjoyed my science. I would like to tell you a little bit more about science, if you like. I have a book. It's called Gravity Driven Universe. And it's composed in two parts. And one part is what we call hard science, but I'll read it to you just a little bit, if you like. And see if you like it. You may want to get a copy of your book for yourself for Christmas. But it deals with the creation theory, but the hard physics is based upon not a Big Bang, and I don't discount the Big Bang in the hard physics side of the book, which is only 106 pages, but the philosophical side, the metaphysical side, I take the hard science and put it into context with why there couldn't be a Big Bang and what gravity is. And, well, maybe I should start with that a little bit. Let me just read a little bit what I presented to a group of physicists. I find that when I go to these physics programs and I leave these pamphlets lying around, they're not pamphlets, they're all little booklets, 8x10. I have one in my hand, you know, finding God beyond gravity, energy from a unifying field. That's the last part of the book. Finding God beyond gravity. Otherwise, the book is called Gravity Driven Universe. Gravity drives the universe. Energy from a unifying field. There's two basic theories that clash: quantum physics and Einstein's big physics, or the big physics of the big things, moons, suns, and earths, and stuff like that. But they don't match, and they should, but in this book, it matches perfectly when gravity is seen as a push force. Well, for example, you know anything about cars? Doesn't a car behave differently if you put the engine in the rear rather than under the bonnet in the front? Of course it does. So if the push is gravity or the pull is gravity, they both could be. You have a different different result if you think of it as a pull, as a push. The mathematics is the same, but the result is much more flavorful, much more desirable. As you see, it makes a huge difference. So let me read part of it. Maybe you'd like to call me on it, but I'm only going to take this so far, maybe 15, 20 minutes, and do hope we start back to whole solving your problems, because this won't solve your problems, but it may give you a heart, a love of the Creator. Because the universe doesn't start with a big bang. Now, you got to think about big bang. I mean, really stupid. Hello, Mr. Stupid Physicist. You're clever in some ways, but you're just a political person. You don't dare challenge it. It's systemic. You got to believe in it, or if you start to go off on one side or the other, you can't get a job. But thank you, I don't need a job. I got a job, thank you. And I'm a free man. But let me see how this sits with you. If we knew what gravity is, then we shall know what gravity does, really. The following two ways of looking at gravitation will reveal a vital difference. One way or another, whether push or pull, we know for sure that gravity is omnidirectional with identical mathematics. With pull, gravity can be seen as a property of matter. Stop there for a minute. Gravity is a property of matter. Just as me. And here's the puzzle. The moon, let me say something before I read this. I looked up at the sky one night. I've been writing my book. I looked up at the sky one night, and I looked at the moon in a different way. And the reason why I looked up to it, it caught my attention how beautiful it is. But that piece of information from physics, a little tiny piece of information from physics, hit the spot. And immediately I saw a contradiction of physics. And the contradiction was this. What the little piece of information was, that the moon is moving away from the Earth 4 centimeters. 4 centimeters here. And it used to be a lot closer, but it's moving away. That defies the first law of motion, Newton's first law of motion. If you do not add force to a body, it cannot accelerate. Okay? You've got to accelerate your car, otherwise you have to put force to it, otherwise it won't accelerate. That's common sense, right? Simple. Common sense. First law of motion. All right, now, I want you to stop for a minute, and I'm going to ad lib a little bit. That shouldn't happen. If gravity is a pull on the moon, let's pretend you're Superman. And you're going round and round and round and round and round for millions and millions and millions of years. And you are Superman, but you've got to lift the oceans. You know how heavy a gallon of milk is? So it's lifting up the oceans, the whole ocean. Twice a day. Now, if it's pulling up the ocean, it's doing what, silly? You stupid physicists. You are stupid when it comes to just believing stuff, something like a big bang. That gravity is a pull. No, it's a push on your head. We'll come to that in a minute. I'm going to do it very, very slowly. So immediately, I says, something's not right. My gravity is a push force. That's more like it. Something is feeding energy to the Earth-Moon system. It's feeding energy. The evidence of the energy, according to the physics, which blew my brain and made me discover this, and I leave these pamphlets around everywhere I go to give physics talks, and they all disappear, and there's no comment. Scaredy, scaredy cats. Don't worry. I'm working on it. I'm working on something better. But still. So I got to, I get the message that 4 centimeters a year is very significant. It isn't very much, but it cannot move according to Newton's law of motion. It is moving away from the Earth. It's being infused by some energy field, because it, add to that moving away from the Earth, it's also something is infusing the Earth-Moon relationship to lift the oceans. It's something called gravity that's coming from somewhere to lift things up, so the moon is no longer pulling it anymore. Something else is lifting those oceans, but not the moon. Now let's hear. Now here we go. Let me see now. I want you to think of gravity as omnidirectional. Comes from every different direction. So you see, every different it is the fabric of space. It's coming from every direction. I light a match and you see light goes from that match in every direction. Something picks those little bits of light and moves them at 186 miles per second. Every direction. There are forces involved. A match being lit isn't a cannonball being fired out. It doesn't have any motivating force. Something pulls it. It goes through, and the light will go through a pane of glass. That same light will go through a pane of glass, slow down, 40% in the diamond, because I'm a diamond cutter. If it slows down 40%, but when it comes out of a pane of glass made of diamonds, let's say it's made of diamond, because I'm working with diamonds. But it comes out, and when it comes out, it goes back to 186,000 miles per second. What makes it go faster? Does it have an outboard motor inside it? No, something is riding on something. It's a wind of some kind. You can't expect to throw a baseball through a glass window and expect it to accelerate. It does. So there's all kinds of anomalies here. And I want to get back to my point. So there's something. Now, this is what I want you to imagine. I want you to imagine gravity as a push on Earth. That's why it gets so hot inside. And yesterday I spoke about what happened, Yesterday on my floating break to continue my thoughts. You can get a copy of this Gravity-Driven Universe, and I'll give you the address after I finish just my contemplation here. So I want you to think of it as gravity pushing on the Earth. Now, here's what you do. First of all, let me say what a certain man says. Let me see where he is right now. Oh, yes. Thanks to Isaac Newton and Albert Einstein, we can calculate and predict to a high degree of accuracy the interactions between masses, gravitational fields, or space-time, put stations in orbit, fly to the moon, blah, 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 do other useful things. However, we still do not understand the precise underlying nature of gravity, what really goes on behind the scenes to make it tick the way it does. What Richard Feynman said 50 years ago, famous physicist, on his lecture on physics, is still true. All we've done is describe how the Earth moons around the Sun, but we have not said what makes it go. Newton made no hypothesis about this. He was satisfied with what it did without getting into the machinery of it. No one's ever since discovered any machinery. Many mechanisms of gravitation have suggested, but no machinery has ever been invented. And that explains gravity without predicting some other phenomena that does not exist. Anyway, so here it is. And so careful observations that reveal the Earth is speeding up. And that's what I've been saying for a few minutes, so I won't read it. So now, here's what I want you to do. Visualize. Now, you're ready for this. Do some visualization. Let's experiment with this. Visualize a sphere. Got it? Big sphere. And the interior of which is coated with illuminating substance, radiating light from every direction. That would be our gravity. Gravity would be behaving like that. And light would flow through itself. You see? So, from every direction, the whole interior would lit up. Now, here's what I want you to do. Visualize the sphere, which is coated with an illuminating substance, radiating light from every direction. Let an orange represent the Earth. and posit a plum proportionally distance. Let the mutual shadows cast upon each other's facing surfaces represent the absence of gravity, as when light is blocked or at least partially blocked as if by a filter. In other words, when you bring these two objects together, the plum and the orange, a big orange, then there's one vector of light, one pathway of light that shines from behind the plum and behind the orange. That's blocked. So each object, the moon casts a shadow on the earth casts a shadow on the moon, and say that is a vacuum of gravity. Another gravity is something, it's not nothing. And say that that blockage is not a complete blockage, it's a vector, but the earth is moving around the moon is moving around the earth, and that's why it doesn't fall. It has momentum. And we understand that. But when those two shadows, the shadow of the moon on the earth and the shadow of the earth on the moon, that is blocks a vector, one path of gravity, the shadow. But it's not a complete vacuum of gravity. Gravity is not a vacuum. It's a no thing but not nothing. It's a no thing but not nothing. It is something when it comes to our experiment. And so what you got is a partial vacuum between the two, and the earth goes round and round, lifting up the oceans. But what's lifting up the oceans? Now listen carefully. Listen carefully, physicists. Gravity normal is no longer normal. It's lighter. Where that shadow is, you follow the shadow, and you're lighter there on the moon, and you're lighter on the earth at that point. It's a moving point. You are lighter, okay? Remember that. But that's not normal gravity. It's lighter there. It's less gravity. Now, gravity normal is all around the earth. Gravity normal pushes the oceans as usual. And guess what? It pushes the ocean up into that partial vacuum. And because it's not a vacuum, it reverberates and hits the moon, pressures the moon very so slightly, so it moves the moon further away. But it's not the moon lifting the oceans, it's the gravity normal all the way around, putting that up into the partial vacuum. Imagine that. Now that makes a case for the fact that the Earth-Moon system is a gravitational energy machine, a vacuum energy machine. It's a machine that produces energy. And the evidence of which is the excess of the energy pushing the moon away 4 centimeters. I want anybody to argue with that. Anybody, that's the machinery. That's our machinery. But gravity is a pull. You know what would happen if gravity was a pull? If you were the Superman going round and round the earth, lifting up all those oceans, sooner or later the Superman's going to fall into the ocean. Now, you can get physicists that give you all kinds of stupid expressions and mathematical formulas that they bamboozle, and it bamboozles them too. But if I'm right, then we've discovered what gravity is. Now, I've got copyright on that, and it's been a long time copyrighted, so don't pretend to be the first one that discovers it, please, because I'll have your neck. All right, now. 800-866-8883. Would you like to get a copy of my book? Would you like to... let me see where it is. Let me read you the introduction. Let me read the introduction to the second part of the book. You're going to like this. It says, it is an introduction by Sir Thomas, St. Thomas Aquinas, the famous, not notorious, but a famous... a literary religious scholar. Here it is. When the this is a part two of the book, and this is a 300-page book. It starts at, and this is a book that I made some corrections to, so there's a newer version of it. I'm reading from the older version, which is the same thing at this point. When theologian Thomas Aquinas was on his deathbed, his assistant pleaded with him to finish his latest book, the last one. And of kindness says, I cannot. And the assistant urged him again. And Aquinas says, look, all that I've written is like chaff, means chalk, to me. Then he explained the mystical value of knowledge in his search for God. And he says, that which is not known cannot be loved. Knowledge, therefore, is not to be loved for itself, but it is meant to lead to that which must be loved. When he whom it is to be loved is found by virtue of knowledge, knowledge ceases. Bang! Right on the money. Knowledge of good is no good if you puff up with it. Especially, you know, it does make you think the more you know, learn, the more you are. And food does the same thing, makes you think the more you are, the more of you, the more you are. You feel, a lot of people feel insecure. They feel like a big battering ram, a big fat body. They feel like less formidable or more formidable. I don't know which way formidable goes, but you feel more secure. You're tougher. And a lot of people who are fat have strong wills to go with it. And as long as they have a strong will, they stay fat because conflict. They run the wrong path. But they do. They are usually successful, those kinds of people who are willful and fat. They could do things very well, get a lot of applause for it. They're compensating for how clever they are. But anyway, what was I trying to say anyway? Let me give you the phone number. 800-866-8883. Oh, yeah. I was just trying to say, I know what I was going to say. It is the point of it that introduction gives you a flavor of where I'm going with the book. That the knowledge in the book, even though it's beautiful physics and explains away flawlessly the Big Bang. And I challenge all of science to put me up against the best physicists you got and see if you can beat me in a debate. That's my challenge. And look, I just say this. I'll give you one more, another little clue. Every matter needs an associated field. A boat needs an associated field called the ocean. And so I say that you cannot have matter without a field. You can't have matter in a vacuum. And the field doesn't have to be visible. There can be an omnipotent field called gravity. It's not nothing. It's a no-thing, but not nothing. See, it's a no-thing. Now, this no-thing is like a river. Now, let me show you what happens. So let's say, to give an example, without beginning very complicated, just use a simple two-dimensional, you have a nice smooth river. A nice smooth river. So smooth that you can hardly see it moving. It looks like a sheet of ice, just so. But then you drop a little piece of wood in there, a little bit heavier than the river. Plop! And what do you get? Suddenly you got a curve around it, because it's resisting the water. It's a little heavier than the water, right? And that curve is time passing. But in the curve of time, curving is passing, the curve also contains what we call local gravity. But the real gravity is the river. And if you take bigger articles, bigger boulders and smaller boulders, they will all receive the energy of the river. Well, while I was cut off there, if you're still listening, so that the different objects you pull, a big boulder and a smaller boulder or a bigger piece of rock or a floating object like a bigger log, will move slower through the field than the smaller pieces of wood, which will move ahead. So each one has momentum. But the pressure against those articles are moving slower or faster is from the same energy of the river. The river is what is a constant. The energy is constant, and it pressures against those things, and it moves them faster or slower within the river, and the curvature around them is a pressure of time and gravity with constant proportionality. Bingo! That explains gravity. But then gravity is a no thing, but not nothing. So where does the gravity come from? Where's the headwaters of the river? That's what my book explains in the metaphysical part. Who wants to buy Gravity Driven Universe? Didn't like my theory on. You have an argument with it? Is it not enlightening you some way? It explains what gravity is, why gravity is proportional to its size and its mass, etc., etc. So, but they don't know how to explain that a piece of rock or an iron ball, exactly two iron balls, in different parts of the, they have the same gravity for billions and billions and trillions of miles, have the same weight, if you like. They don't weigh anything, but it's basically about the same. Is the same, exactly the same, pressures against it. And when, if they're smaller, they have less pressures against it. And if you shoot these two balls, a small ball and a big ball out of a cannon with the same powder, the smaller ball would go further. See it go ahead of the other one. See, that's the cannon thing is not the greatest idea. It's thinking of the river as a continuous push force, pushing things according to their identity, their densities. See? And everything in the universe is motion. There's nothing not in motion. So what keeps everything in motion? The river. The invisible river called gravity. But the river has to have a source. You have to have a fount. And so the whole universe is moving. So according to relativity, if the whole universe is in one motion, if you take it all together, the gravity flowing, everything is banging into each other and never stopping. Where's the rest spot? Where's the part of the universe that's at rest? Because you need a rest frame to say something is moving. I'll give you two an object. You got, oh dear. Oh dear, I don't want to give it to you after the break here. I'm Roy Masters. I'm on a roll with my physics. But I would like to talk to you about your troubles, but I do have some other talents, and I want to share that with you. Get a copy of Gravity Driven Universe and read the philosophical side, and then you'll understand God. And that's what the book's written for, not for its practical use, but it's in metaphysical use. Delivery of your soul.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
So, let me just round up what I said earlier. The moon, lifting the tides twice daily, should have fallen into orbital decay, with the Earth having pulled it down eons ago. It is puzzling that physicists are not troubled by the fact that the moon not only insists of forever lifting the tides, but adding insult to injury, keeps moving it about 4 centimeters further away from the Earth each year, which defies the first laws of motion, as some energy is being found. So now instead, if we consider gravity as driven by an omnidirectional pressure push force, another possibility arises. When we consider that it mysteriously infuses energy into the Earth-Moon system, sustaining the Moon's orbit, with the appearance of raising the dead, then pushing it away from Earth. Here we can see, or can show, a push and a pull, while being identical in their mathematics, have different outcomes. One produces energy, the other one sucks. Okay, so what else to say? So anyway, I'm best for a little while, and I don't think I live that long in front of a lot of physicists to make my point. They look the other way and suck their thumb or something. But is there any physicists out there would like to have a shot at me? Tell me otherwise. Show me how. Yeah, sure, gravity. Look what gravity does. Look, as a property of matter. You know what I mean? It sucks. Matter sucks. Have you ever tried to suck air out of a balloon that was, you know, a balloon that was, you should have blown up? You can't. You can't. So as you move further away from the Earth, there's less and less gravity, right? It's the inverse square. And you have to figure out what I said. But it comes to the point where it can't suck anymore. Accordingly, there's nothing there. There's something there, but not gravity. As the Earth knows it, it's pulling on something, and then it can't pull anymore. It's like sucking air out of a balloon where there's no air in it. You can't pull the plunger back. But what if gravity was a push force? Then it wouldn't be the inverse square, it was the square of the distance. So that the force becomes greater and greater as it converges on the Earth from every side. And for which reason the center of the Earth is hot. And for which reason the heat is so great, it crystallizes the iron, it makes it, vaporizes it, and then crushes it. And that vapor becomes a crystal, just like a diamond is made out of carbon. It becomes crystallized, and the pressure turns a black carbon to become an allotrope of carbon, which means it's carbon, but it has a different form. It's completely different. Carbon basically is graphite, and you can lubricate things with it. It's black, it's smooth. But the diamond is the hardest substance on Earth. I know, I was a diamond cutter. So it has lines of domain, just like a magnet does. It has lines of a grain, if you like. Diamonds have a grain. Crystals have grains. Lines of a domain, if you like. So if gravity is a push force, then it explains the heat, doesn't it? And then I explain in my book that the heat is so severe at the center of the Earth, or any planet or Earth with similar circumstances, big enough to produce that heat. The moon doesn't have it, that's why it doesn't spin. So what happens is when the molten iron becomes vaporized, when the vapor becomes compressed, it becomes a perfect crystal with all of the electrons going in the same direction, becomes the perfect magnet. So perfect that all the electrons spinning in unison spin that thing around by itself, so it becomes a generator. And then you have lightning, because you have a magnetosphere around the Earth, because it's a magnet. It is behaving like quantum particles. Down there in the quantum realm, where all things are jiggling around and spinning, what causes the elements to spin forever? Oxygen becomes hydrogen, and then you breathe it, and you breathe it out, and oxygen becomes hydrogen, hydrogen becomes it. But never mind. How many times has oxygen been renewed and renewed? Billions and millions of times, the trees, and you burn up the trees, and you receive you let the carbon go out in the atmosphere, and over again. And the oxygen particle, the oxygen, little particle of oxygen, the atom, is still spinning. It still spins forever, always at the same rate. Never, there's no entropy. It doesn't wear out, ever. What keeps it spinning? A spinner. That concludes my presentation for this evening. 800-866-8883. Now, would you like to get a copy of my book, Gravity-Driven Universe? I've never done this on, on radio before. I mean, on this program, which is a program about helping people. But I think this book will enlighten you. Everything I say on this program is meant to enlighten you. Okay, so now I have a floating break, and I want to mention some business. I have two skills with physics. I won't kid you. I left school when I was 12. But I love to know what nobody else knows. That's all I want to. There's two things I want to know. What gravity is. And since nobody knew, it was a long time before I got to it, to the physics part. What compelled me was the fact that German people could. I just walked down a alley one night in Brighton, England, and there was no mischief there. You could walk safely. Not today in America. And there was it wasn't a night, it was a date, I remember, sorry. And I thought I'd spend my dollar, which I could have every week, to watch a demonstration of hypnotism. And everybody thought it was, you know, weird, but fake. I didn't. Because I looked at Hitler, what he was doing to people. And so that was my interest. I tried to find out how it worked. And there's no books worth reading, and there's no books worth reading today. But as of now, I'm able to speak to physicians and an interest in them and my discoveries. I just came back from Canada, and I think you know about that enough. And it was received very well. And we're making headway here. But America is in a hypnotized state. Nearly everybody is. And you're not going to recover from this. Everybody, even the doctors, the only difference between a doctor and its patient is that you're both dying from the same disease of stress, which is temptation. I told you the code word for temptation. Code word for stress is temptation. And that's what you're dealing with. So stress is not something extraordinary. It is counter ordinary. And if you respond to it, you become a slave of it. So who stresses you is the tempter. And if you react or overreact to them, you become the slave. All who sin react to pressure. A slave. So it explains everything. And you cannot cure a disease of stress with medicine. Now, on your way back, nearly all of you are dying from stress. You're going to die from it. Unless you find redemption from it. A certain resilience, which is heavenly, not earthly. A heavenly will, not an earthly will. The earthly will owns you. It owns you the minute you're born, practically. So you're born into it. That's what the Bible infers. You're born into it. You're born into sin. It says in sin, but it should be into. And it's not your fault that you get screwed and programmed and rebellion. Conformity is the only choice that you've got. And so it produces all kinds of misery and suffering. I don't want to go into that now. But I can tell you on my website just the other day, I said, you know, I tweeted to everybody, stress is temptation. Stress, the cure stress can overcome drinking, drugs, and smoking. Now, how much do you pay to quit smoking? How much is it worth for you to quit smoking? You can get a download for $19.95 or $20. You get a download of what you need, and within an hour, you probably stop. If you're really sensitive to what I'm saying, meaning you get it. I want to tell you a little story. I had a man who came, he was an alcoholic, one of my first clients, and he had got a chip on his shoulder. I said, this is going to be not an easy one, but sit down. I didn't say that to him, but I said, sit down. I said, make your fingers tingle, close your eyes. I said, you doing that? He said, you feel your fingers tingling? Yeah. Okay, now you can go home. He said, well, I paid you $100. What do you? I said, go home and practice it and do as I say. He said, okay. You want to get better, don't you? He said, yeah. But he was puzzled. So he comes in next day, He said, what did you do to me? I said, what are you talking about? He said, I haven't taken a drink. I never wanted it. Then I explained it to him. I said, you did it to yourself. Now, is there anybody that like would want to talk to me? So, because I wasn't feeling well when I started to do this program, but the first hour rejuvenated to me. And then I got a little bit, you know, cheeky and become a little bit of an upstart and landed my physics on you. I didn't mean to impose upon you, but I love this physics because it's practical. I'm proving something. But even so, what's more, I'm proving that God exists outside the universe. That the ultimate stillness is within you. So when you close your eyes, I'll tell you what happens. When you close your eyes and you meditate and you look at your eyelids, you see me, you hear me talking about that all the time. You're no longer involved with your monkey brain thinking. You're actually way ahead of the crowd, of all the people going to synagogue and church and mosques, way ahead, light years. And so what happens is then, so you're exposed to, you find there's a space there. How can I say this? The nature of God pervades the universe. And what we call space and time, how can I say this? It's not easy. But the best way I can say it, because I'm looking at the clock to make a point, there's something about being outside materiality and into the realm of what we call space before it became matter, with the curvature, the spinning particles, they're moving through space with curvature and gravity. Somebody outside this place, and this space talks to everything. It has the frequency that makes everything function, even life itself, all the way from the fabric of space to living things. But see, then you have access to your Creator. You're the only creature that has the access directly to the Creator. And He looks through your eyes. He shines a light through your eyes and you can see your thoughts. And the thoughts being watched, coming up from where they shouldn't, begin to dissolve. They're the energy that put it there. That's all I'm saying. And then you find your life changing. And you're moving, having your being from the energy from within, that tingling your fingers. If you can close your eyes and cause your fingers to tingle just by being aware, already ahead of people who go to church. I'm telling you. If you close your eyes and look at your eyelids, and then be aware of your hands, your fingers tingling, the first finger, second finger. If you can do that, just do it several times a day. Do that and call me tomorrow, if you dare. And just tell me can't we just have some kind of relationship where you're not scared of me? As a gentleman said who listened to me since 1917, just looked up and see if I was still alive, and I was. He was glad. He said, I've listened to you since the 70s, early 70s, and I find it very hard to, even though it's been very helpful to me, I mean more than that. He finds it difficult to introduce the idea of temptation and stress and the counter stress called salvation, redemption from stress and the stresses. That's what makes Moses Moses and a Jesus Jesus and Abraham Abraham. They follow something. They are guided beings. And so are you when you're tempted. Don't you get it? When you're tempted, you're a guided being, but guided in the wrong way. Can't stop. You're a slave. And then how do you get rid of the realization what a useless person you're becoming? The anxiety is there. You drink your conscience away. You dope your conscience away, you dopes. You go to the doctor and you get medicine. And one of these days you all are going to be, listen, the whole country is sick right now. And Obama would love to have you on on the exchanges, so he can play with you and decide who he wants to live and who's going to die, who gets medicine, who doesn't. Damned if you get the medicine, damned if you don't. 800-877-3227. Call and make a donation. Or post office box 1000. Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Send money now. I can help save this country in time if you give me that opportunity. Thank you.
You're listening to Advice Line with Roy Masters. Call Roy at 1-800-866-8883.
Okay. Now, what did I say about, what was it? How I started my program is that, where's my notes? Help, my notes. No notes anywhere. But anyway, temptation is a stress is a disease-causing entity. That's what I was looking for. Stress is a disease-causing entity. The entity is external to you. But when you respond to it, it is internal to you. And there it makes a home, unholy in the place of the holy. You are a human being. You should understand what I just said. Has anybody had a complaint to make about that? Anyone wants to agree to it, disagree with me, call me 800-866-8883. You can think about it over the evening and call me tomorrow and say you're all wet. Here. Now, you can do what you like. I won't be rude to you as long as you're not rude to me. Okay? We disagree, agree to disagree. But I haven't found anyone who could disagree with me in my whole life. You know, I've been to colleges, given lectures. And I don't do that much anymore. I went to one college and I made a good talk. And then you had a consortium of a preacher, the school minister, whatever, and some potentate. And then they started to quote me wrong. So I stood up and said, excuse me, but I didn't say that. You can't quote me as saying that. And there's 500 students there, right like that. So I sat down. So he takes another attack. I said, I got up again. I said, excuse me, you've done it again. You can't use that because I never said that. You're twisting it. Typical. Sat down. I did that several times until there was a huge commotion. That was it. That was my last time. You know, I won't put up with that. So what people do is twist. It, you know, blessed are those who, you know, are righteousness, for such is the kingdom of God. And there'll come a time, as it's coming now, that men shall hate become the haters of the good, right? High-minded and proud, and haters of those who are good. I don't remember the exact quote. But you listening to me, how could you, I don't mean to sound braggadocious, but how is it you can't even spend a moment to pick up the phone and say, I don't agree? How is it that I could be on 300 stations and dead silence? Now, I know by the income that people are listening. I don't have enough to do what I want to do. I want to take this message to the whole country. It's not big enough yet. I want to do it before the midterms, because Obama's in serious trouble right now. And when he gets into trouble and he can't win with all his lies, and his numbers keep falling. I don't even know why he has any numbers left, but I said the cannibals always need cannibals need a cannibal king, so you have to, people who are sick, mentally ill, evil, will always need a cannibal king, a dictator, avatar, to justify their misbegotten existence. But there's still, so it's 38%. And maybe not four, that's about as many crazy people as you have in this country. And they'll be put in charge. They'll be in charge of us if he gets in. But what's going to happen is, if he finds he's losing midterms, he's going to create a huge crisis. There'll be martial law. And they're very close to the election, the midterms. I tell you, you've got to be prepared, because they got one prepared for you. Could be some kind of infection, epidemic, purposely created, or just myth. But since he has a bad reputation of being a liar, it has to be real. So he better be careful. Okay? And he wants us to fire the first shot. There'll be revolution. But there must be revolution in a very special way. If the Tea Party is listening to me, I'd be happy to lead that party. Because I'm an expert in psychological warfare. I can help solve, it's my gift. So don't say it's me. I have to say I. Forgive me. So let me say it's him and me. But let me say it's me. It's the agent. So I have to talk that way. So otherwise you think it's I, ego. No. I just want that qualified. So I have a knowledge, as you've listened to me, of your psychology, the machinery of your mind, the machinery of gravity. I stand outside myself like I want you to do, and the Creator is there saying, see, I made all this. Now, I couldn't do that when it was beginning, because it was just a big whoosh. There wasn't a big bang, because you couldn't have matter without a field. So I have to create a field, and it comes out of it. Like a spinning eddy in a river. The eddy is heavier than the current that's spinning it, and therefore it's gyroscopic, and it resists. See that? The momentum pushing of the river. Okay, so I just want to finish. The eddy appears, and the minute the eddy appears, matter with gravity pushing it, curving around it, and spinning it. That's why little particles spin forever. Because eddies, as long as the river flows, the eddy survives. The eddy can't survive without the river, but the river, gravity, can survive without the eddy, which is matter. Get it? Very simple. It's easy. Listen, it's the end of this hour. Post Office Box, 1000, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. I got to say Grants Pass. You can say Grants Pass if you want to, but I got to stay with Grants Pass, if you don't mind. A little exaggerated to make the point. Also, an easy way to remember the phone number of the office, business hours, West Coast Times, is better than the telephone operators if you just work with our people. See, the book is Gravity Driven Universe, Energy from a Unifying Field. Remember, it's a whole program about that. But it's more than just physics. It is proving that God exists. It will lift your soul. Okay? And so I know it will. You'll appreciate it, because as I was saying a few moments ago, quickly I'm going to say it again, he couldn't show me at the beginning of the universe, because even if it was a big bang, nothing was there. So I have to wait till the universe is created, monkeys are made, and men. And now he says to me, this man, hey, I made all this, this is how I made it. That's how I write the book. All right. 855 on 800, no, 855, Cure Stress. That will get you to my office anytime. See, if you, or 800-77-3237. Thank you very much for supporting the program.